This is The Vital Connection, a program helping connect Christ and your community. And now, here is your host, Dr. Bill Campbell.
Good morning, this is Bill Campbell. We're glad you're with us in The Vital Connection. This will be an exciting program, and I think of great interest to all of our listeners. The title we give today to our program is Charismatic Chaos. And that brings us back in thought to a book published 20 years ago by John MacArthur, in which he analyzes the charismatic movement, which has now moved its way into all the denominations and churches pretty much around the country to some extent or another. Some people are bothered by it, others thrilled by it, and many in between are confused by it, and so we use the word chaos. And I don't mean to give a dispersion or negative label to the charismatic movement any more than do I want to endorse everything that happens in the name of Jesus in every church. So this is a time of discernment, a time of listening, and as you listeners join in to us, I want you to know we've got three guests here. Bill Michael is pastor at Mountain Harvest Worship Center. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
And we have in the studio Rick Farnham. He's with Beth Shiloh Church as a lay pastor. He's also involved in a Blue Ridge prison and jail ministry. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
And David Winkle, who's been a pastor and working as a church pastor in a few different denominations, but also as a chaplain in the military. David, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, these folks have a lot of experience and understanding, combined wisdom, and also, no doubt, some questions, because no one's got all the answer at the perfect corner on God. But when you talk about charismatic, we go back to the Greek word charismata, the idea of being gifts of the Spirit. It's not so much charismatic like a bright and sparkling personality. We're talking about God's presence through the Holy Spirit. And what I'm going to do is, first, I'm going to introduce these three just with a little more of their own stories, and then we're going to get into the topic in some detail. I'm actually going to use John MacArthur's book as a touch point as we go along in this conversation. Bill, how did you first get in touch with the idea of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I was raised as a Methodist, and actually went to a church where a good portion of the believers there were Spirit-filled. And then I started attending a church, the one that actually sent us up here, Trinity Church International in Lake Worth, Florida, which is affiliated with the Assemblies of God. And actually, the first time I ever walked into a charismatic church, I said, I'll never do that again. But the one thing you learn is you never say to God, I'll never do that again. And a couple weeks later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and experienced the gift of speaking in tongues. And what it did for me was brought an entirely different dimension in my relationship with God, a more intimate time with Him and a more intimate understanding of, really, of Scripture. It opened up Scriptures that I previously had not been able to understand or discern.
Okay, right there we got some things we'll be unpacking as we move through the program. And listeners, you're welcome to call in also, but give us a little time to get warmed up, because there's a lot of stuff to cover in 1 hour. But the number is 693-WHKP. Now, Bill mentioned baptism of the Spirit. Some debate on that, theologically. And the gift of tongues. John MacArthur would say that's not for today. Now, Bill, you obviously at one point, you mentioned being Methodist,
right, where
there are some things happening, but you are not open to this whole thing of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a listener and you're saying, I'm not open either, I would probably want to surmise and say this. Probably everybody in the studio has been there to one extent or another, so we totally understand. But I'm going to move on now. Rick, you're involved with the Messianic Jewish Fellowship. What does that mean, Messianic Jewish? I mean, isn't it, you're either Jewish or not, right?
Our Savior was Jewish. The ultimate. He lived, breathed, and lived it. I wanted to get back to our Jewish roots, because Paul says that we have been brought into when we accepted Christ, that we were brought in to become Jews. There's no Jews, no Greeks, no nothing. I mean, the wall has been brought down according to Ephesians. But at the same time, I was raised a Southern Baptist, and what our brother over here was talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I wasn't open to that at first either. But then I came away from the church for a while because I just did. Why? You know, we were saved, and we kind of. I felt like I was kind of left at the altar. So, what happened at that stage was I came back. I went to charismatic churches, and I found that, wow, this is really what God wanted us to be. He didn't want this to be some drudgery. He wanted us to have fun. He wanted us to be in His Spirit and worship Him, and you know, in truth and in spirit. And
you know, now let me stop you right there. John MacArthur, as he starts his book, his first point is experience a valid test of truth. So you went from, you suddenly visited some churches, and based on an experience, it was fun. You dove into something untested. Is that right, without getting into Scripture and seeing if it was for real?
No, I had studied Scripture. I had a good background in the Bible.
Okay.
And when I got in there, I was like, well, this is what it said. You know, and I'd heard a lot in my growing up, and I said, well, some of this stuff is not for today, and, you know, that was for then, and that was that. And as I studied the Word, and I studied the book of Acts, and I looked at it, and I saw, I said, you know, this book is still being written today.
Okay.
We're all still writing this book, because it never really ended.
Now, you got to be careful with that. At this point, to chapter 2, the idea of does God still give revelation today? He says it's complete in the Scripture. Wouldn't you agree the Scripture is the final authority?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so God's not still writing. I mean, the Bible's final. Genesis to Revelation. If someone tries to add to it, they're a false prophet, right?
No, well, that's not what I mean.
Okay.
What I'm saying is...
See, now, you guys, I want the three of you to know, none of you, as I understand you, are going to... give the John MacArthur side of this, and it's not just John, it's the dispensational viewpoint on the gifts of the Spirit for today. I'm going to have to provide it, because we're on some balance here. When you get my challenges, buck up and give some good answers.
Okay, well, going back to that, I base what I believe on what this says. I mean, somebody...
Okay, so you're following Scripture,
right.
And you're saying it isn't just experience. The experience, maybe, of going to another church got you thinking about the Scripture, but you're really trying to follow Scripture. No,
right.
Okay, I'm moving to Dave Winkle. Dave, this whole charismatic chaos thing, I mean, is this something you were looking for in your life?
Not in the least. I was raised as a Lutheran and went to Lutheran seminary, and I don't think the word charismatic was ever mentioned in that educational process. And everything was very academic, and I always say I was not anti-charismatic, but my wife always corrects me. She and her family are charismatic, and I used to joke and say things like, well, I can't speak in tongues, but I can type in tongues if I get my fingers on the wrong keys. So it was something I just was not open to in the least. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, where it said that prophecies will cease and that tongues will cease and these things will all come to an end, in my mind, I didn't see the value. In 2003, we accompanied her parents because they couldn't drive a long distance. We took them to Knoxville to a healing conference that was led by Cal Pierce, who was a guest on your program a few weeks ago. I had been in healing services before where they will say things and call people and tell them to come down front. And I told her that even if he reads out my Social Security number and calls me by name, I am not going down front.
Okay, so you had the standard line, not charismatic, but just in your thinking, this stuff, you can leave that for the wild people over there. I'm
yes.
A state Christian who enjoys sitting comfortably in the pew.
Comfortable in the pew, love that, you know, Western liturgy and great hymnody, and we'll worship and hear a great sermon and leave. But I had an injury, a neck injury that I had in the Army where I could not turn my head to the right, and I would compensate for it by just turning my body. And while we were sitting there in that service, Cal said, there is someone in this room who has a neck injury, and you cannot turn your head to the right. My wife grabbed my leg, and I'm not going down. And he kept on and on, you know, I guess he would say, reading my mail, talking about all the things I couldn't do, and said that God wanted to heal me. I did not go down. And about 15 minutes later, I have a daughter who lives in Knoxville. She slipped into the pew behind me to my right and said, "Hey, Dad." And I turned my head to respond to her, and I realized my head turned. So I didn't say anything to anyone. I was just too stunned that God got my attention. And that's when I started looking into the charismatic movement and the gifts of the Spirit and studying. And later that year, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit by my wife's father. And our family and children all came together for that. And it was just a beautiful event. And my life has been drastically different since.
Okay, so
may I just...
Okay, you can. I'm going to start getting on your case, you guys. Now, go ahead.
I'd like to clarify, and especially as I heard Dave speak, he was because, although I said that I was not real open to that, I was seeking God.
Okay. Yes.
And I think the key in all of this is to be seeking God, because it's all about relationship with God, not about religion and rules and things like that. And... it wasn't a quote-unquote classic way to receive the Holy Spirit that I did of, you know, people praying for you. I asked a friend of mine some questions, and he shared a few things with me, and he said, when you go to sleep, ask God to reveal himself. And in my sleep is when God zapped me, so to speak. But it was because I desired to know God better. And I believe that the whole key to our Christian walk, no matter what kind of terminology we like to use, is when Jesus said in John 17 that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, in Jesus Christ whom you've sent.
It's interesting. The word know in the Greek and Hebrew talks about an experiential relationship. And whereas John MacArthur starts his book arguing we shouldn't base things on experience, I agree with that. It should be based on Scripture. I see Peter being challenged by God with a vision that knocked him off the roof almost, you know, this vision of the sheep coming down. And everything changed because of an experience. He had his eyes open to things the Scripture had already been saying, and he just wasn't noticing it. Mm-hmm. And we all come to Scripture with our own filters based on our experience. And I'm hearing the three of you say, look, some experiences kind of got me to see things in a Scripture I'd not been noticing before.
When I was growing up, In the Baptist Church, I was taught these scriptures. I read them. I learned them. I learned the stories, you know. And later I thought, there's got to be more. I mean, is this the God that actually parted the Red Sea or not? Is he able to do that now or not? And I started seeking, like my brother here was talking about, and I just felt like there was more. And it was up to me to look for him.
Listeners, I apologize for theological terms like dispensational, and I'm not trying to, in this program, give a theological, that's a study about God, full exposition, meaning explaining fully what John MacArthur has to say or any other theologian. I'm not trying to work my way into, on one radio program, a full understanding about these many issues that we're bringing up. I want us as followers of God, and those who are looking on saying, is this God real? I don't know him yet. I want us to acknowledge some things are complicated and they're worth pursuing. There is no doubt, I'll just say this right up front, there's no doubt that there are places where the charismatic movement gets off track with too much experience, not enough based on Scripture. I've seen it over and over. There's also, in my mind, very little doubt that any of us can miss part of what God has intended for us in the fullness of His Son's presence through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it may be right there in the book, in Scripture, and we read parts of it and ignore other parts, or the way we exegete. And John talks in his book about hermeneutics. That's his study of the God's Word. How do we pull out pieces and put them together for our lives? There are alternative ways to do this, and it's a confusion that I don't claim will completely settle here. But I want you, the listener, to be open as we get into this topic now. Because really, any of us can use more of God, can't we?
Yes, we can.
Absolutely. Bill, one thing I like to share with people concerning experience is you cannot build your doctrine strictly on experience. But you also cannot build your doctrine because you haven't experienced something that Scripture says. So anything we experience has to be grounded in and founded in and backed up by Scripture. Salvation is a very experiential, emotional experience for most people when they realize that the very God of creation loves them enough to have a relationship with them and forgive whatever we've all of our sins that we've done so that we can be in relationship with him. And as John says, be called sons of God.
Let me try to restate that. Our experience is important as a follow-up to what God has told us in Scripture, but sometimes we might get closer to the Lord and experience something that's there that we haven't noticed right off the bat.
Right, but also what I was saying is we cannot say that something is not of God because we personally have not experienced it.
Okay, good. The question about miracles for today, Dave, you talked about your neck being healed. I don't think anybody debates whether or not God can do anything he wants. The dispensational viewpoint, that's a viewpoint on Scripture in which you see God working in dispensations or periods of time. He did major sets of miracles around the time of the prophets, you know, and Moses. And then you get the first coming of Christ and you get a second coming. In between, there's not a whole lot expected for the church age because we don't want to get our eyes off of Scripture and what it teaches. But wait a minute. Here's the first question. In the book of Acts, we're told at the end of time, in those last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Could not this be the last days? Even for the dispensationalist, may it not be that Christ is about to come again, according to many evidences and signs, whether you read your paper or read the Bible or put them best of all both together, to cause us to think God may want to step up, ramp up the power of his activities to get people's attention while there's still time. What do y'all think? Are we living possibly in or near the end of time? That's a tough one. You can ignore it if you want.
No, I wish we were that lucky. But as I look at church history, I see many of these gifts working through the last 2,000 years. When you look at, I'm not Roman Catholic, but if you read of the saints and the healings and the spiritual gifts of those people throughout all of what we would refer to, I guess, as Christendom, I'm not sure that, we're obviously in the midst of a renewal, but I'm not sure that that renewal hasn't been ongoing for the last 2,000 years under the radar.
Okay. Well, let me bridge this another way. Paul in Corinthians, he tells us to let everything be done decently and in order, and he was talking about the operation of spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
MacArthur would say that when the Bible is completed, the manifestation gifts, like tongues, were done away with. And everything should be done decently and in order. I personally, I can't quite see that in Scripture. I think that's reading something into it. Yes, the Bible's complete. The revelation is done. If someone says, I've got something from God that transcends Scripture, I'll tell you, I'm not going to trust you. Okay? But I don't find anything in Scripture that says that the manifestation gifts are absolutely ruled out by God. Do you guys?
No.
Have you studied this viewpoint that says they are?
From what I see, it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And then we use, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it discusses the gifts. And also in Ephesians, where it talks about the gifts, it says, for the church. The church, this is my belief system, my view. I believe the main purpose of the church is to reveal the kingdom. And the main purpose of the kingdom is to reveal the King, Jesus.
Beautiful.
And Jesus is to reveal the Father, because it's all about the Father and us being restored to the Father. So if Paul is addressing the first century church, saying these are the gifts given by our King Jesus for the church, Jesus said that his kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom, and that the church is for today to reveal who he is. So I don't see where any of the things that were given to the church in the first century have or should diminish or stop in our time, because it's all to reveal the Father.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anything has changed. I mean, I've studied this a lot. I don't see where it says it's going to change. It's going to, you know, what he was talking about, it will eventually, these prophecies will go away, but I think that's just because they will come true.
I mean, in other words, when Christ comes back, we see him face to face. No need for prophecy anymore.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
The only thing that's eternal is love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Where a lot of people, I think, get that passage you just quoted incorrectly, is that when the perfect comes, they see that as the arrival of or the completion of Holy Scripture.
Right.
That that has come and now the gifts have ceased.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was talking about a face-to-face encounter.
Yes.
Which is with Jesus Christ, not with Scripture.
No longer in a mirror dimly. The mirrors back then were brass. Yes. They take a pumice powder on a cloth and polish it up, and it was a dim reflection, but we're going to see him face to face.
Yeah.
Okay. Listeners, I want to tell you that we're getting into this topic, charismatic chaos. We want to bring some clarity. And as we go forward in the second half of our program, we invite you to help us in this. You feel free to call in with your comments, your questions. I've got three ministers here who've got a breadth of experience. I've got notes on John MacArthur's book called Charismatic Chaos. But we're going to now bring you forward into some things we think are really important as we get into this topic of the working of God's Spirit in our lives and in the church today. We want you to be part of this conversation. You hold on. We're going to take just a very short break, and we'll be right back.
Visit us online at thevitalconnection.org to comment on this program, to listen to other shows, and to see what is coming in the days ahead. Consider giving to help us reach others around the world. Again, our address is thevitalconnection.org.
Gifts of the Holy Spirit, are they for today, or are they traps to lead us backward into yesterday's experience? Are they biblically based and things that will help us move forward in our walk with Christ, or are there things to avoid that lead us in a sidetrack from the very purpose of God? So join us now as we continue this conversation. If you want to call in, 693-WHKP. Okay, who is the Holy Spirit? What do you all think? Is it an it? Is it a person?
Person.
Third person of the Trinity, right?
Right.
Pretty
absolutely.
Important. Is it possible to get too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think if we... short answer, no. because as I read Scripture, one of the main things is the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father that Jesus said was going to be given to us. But one thing about the Godhead is they completely and totally agree, and they always enhance and point to one another, but ultimately to the Father. So if I'm emphasizing the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit operates, he is going to exalt Jesus.
So the point is he's part of the Holy Trinity.
Part of the Holy Trinity.
We don't want to separate him out as though he's special. In fact, he wants always to point us
right
to the Son and especially to the Father. So, Rick?
That gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive, that we choose to receive, is the fulfillment of the new covenant in Jeremiah, that writing on our heart of God, the living in us. That's where the prophets of old had that Holy Spirit, like Elijah and Elijah. Nobody else had it. To have that power in us and living in us and working in us.
It's not anymore for an exclusive club of the prophets in their own little school. It's for everyone who believes in Christ.
That's it.
We have the Holy Spirit. Now, you all have talked about baptism of the Spirit, and I know we can go round and round on terms and miss the main point. That is, John MacArthur talks about, he goes to the book of Acts and kind of brings a perspective that this idea that you must have the gift of tongues as evidence that there's a baptism. He says that was for the dispensations of the early church when it was moving from Jerusalem, Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. Those are markers God gave not to be given again. It's the not to be part that's kind of hard to clarify in Scripture. But here's the point I want to make. Sometimes we get so caught up in the minutiae that we forget the big picture. Like someone said, do you believe in the second blessing? And the answer is given, I believe in the second and the third and the fourth, and I believe in being blessed every day of my life. You know, in other words, if God's got more in a package of salvation for me, more joy, more holiness, more of his guidance, more light for my path, more power to live for him, I want all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get too caught up in arguments about whether it's called baptism, fullness, indwelling, anointing, and on and on. But, you know, it is good to look at these terms and talk a little bit. Phil?
I think we do get too hung up on terms. And as I read Scripture in the New Testament, Paul talks, and the other writers do, a lot about the fullness of Christ, until we've all come to the fullness of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That we are being constantly conformed to the image of Christ. Obviously, we know, no matter what doctrinal flavor we are of, is that in my own strength, my own humanness, my flesh, I cannot do that. It takes the empowering of the Spirit of God for me to be constantly and continually conformed into the image of Christ, which we ultimately will never get to until we go to glory or He returns. But my goal is to progressively, daily, become more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And does that entail the demonstration of His power, but it also ultimately has to demonstrate His love. That am I emanating the love of Christ so that people can see the love of Christ, that even though I may not agree with you, I can still embrace you and love you as a brother in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we've gotten into a really big problem. We've allowed something that the Lord intends to unify to divide. So really, as we look at Scripture, it's continually encouraging us to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord, as Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. And Peter said that we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness, and every good and perfect gift is from above. So I think sometimes we get tied up in our doctrinal dogma, mm-hmm. rather than being open to saying, God, I want more of you. And if it doesn't look like what I perceive or have thought in my past experience, but I can see in Scripture where it is you, then I'm open for it. I want to know you more. I want to know you deeper.
I suspect what you've just shared with us now, every single Christian on the planet can agree with. It's all about knowing Jesus. Now, here's the thing. We get into this idea that some people would say it this way: salvation is a complete package. When you believe in Jesus, you've got it all. Dave, do you agree with that?
Yes, and in a Lutheran theology that we were taught that one of the gifts you receive at baptism is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that. I don't think of the baptism of the Spirit. I wish there was another term we had for that. Mm. It makes it sound like we've added the sacrament, which it is not. For me, it was more an awakening of what was within me. I would hate to think that all of the sermons I had preached through my career up to that point had been devoid of any influence or input from the Holy Spirit, or that any of my ministry had been. The Holy Spirit was very active in my life, but this was more of an awakening. It was, I liked your term, a second blessing.
And some people won't like that. Infilling, I think more people mm-hmm. like that. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians, maybe it's 5:18, I have to look. I think everybody likes that. And so, as Christians, sometimes we define things a certain way. Someone else used biblical language to define it another way. They might be, in some cases, talking about the very same thing and having an argument.
Exactly.
It's the nature of things. Let me say about John MacArthur, my goal today is not to critique in such a way as to put down his book. I have a great respect for John MacArthur. He's an incredible Bible teacher. But he represents a perspective on, here's the language we use to define what God's doing today. And I don't fully agree with all of it. Most of it I do. It's just that I don't fully agree with everything that's spouted in the name of the Pentecostal or charismatic movement. I've seen some pretty wild things. Let me talk about this. You get the TV preachers that come up and raise a lot of money. And then sometimes you get people who are out whipping up a crowd who then get caught in sexual sin. Now, do you all agree with me that there are extremes? You know, give me some examples of, if you don't mind, areas where people in the name of Christ and the Holy Spirit have gotten off track. Can anybody give me some examples? I'll give you some more if you can.
Well, the newspaper's full of them all the time. But what I've seen in charismatic churches, the tendency over time to accentuate the gifts more than the giver. Okay. And that if you don't have the gifts, you're not part of this, and it becomes sort of a spiritual elite group, mm-hmm. and more focus on those gifts. The other is, this is what I jokingly refer to as charismania, where they look at, in the Gospel of John, that the Spirit will lead you to all truth. And they tend to stop using Scripture, rely more on the gifts of prophecy. And I have heard some horrendous prophecies in worship services where I would sit there and say, I know that can't come from God. That contradicts Holy Scripture.
Okay.
Because Scripture alone is the rule and norm for faith and life. But there's a balance where you have one group that drifts toward almost bibliolatry. Mm-hmm. We worship the Bible. Anything outside of the Bible, as we understand it, could not be true. And then you have the other group that just takes off without Scripture. Mm-hmm. The reason I say charismania, it's like a reactor with no control rods in it. They just...
Well put. Very well put. And that's what can happen when we rely on experience alone. One experience builds on another, one prophecy on another. We have to be careful. We're told in Corinthians, I believe this would be 1 Corinthians 12, probably, or 14, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Or exactly. Test the spirit. All through the Bible, test. Hold fast to what you know is right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, 18, right in there. Hold fast to what you know is right and test the new. And this idea of just going with experience is very dangerous, isn't it?
1 John says test the spirit, right. Too.
Yes.
Yeah. My friend Dr. Bob Abramson wrote a book, The Fullness of the Holy Spirit, where he addresses more from the charismatic side, okay. The gifts. And as he explores specifically the gift of prophecy, he talks about that it has to line up with Scripture. In the New Testament, prophecy is to edify and encourage and those types of things. So, again, but it still comes back to that prophecy, I personally believe prophecy happens today. Mm-hmm. But it must be judged. That's what Scripture says. And it must line up with Scripture. It cannot contradict Scripture. So sometimes it's that balance, but on either side, you know, either side of a road is a ditch. The road we're to be on is the road to the fullness in Christ according to Scripture. So if we get in this error and say this doesn't happen, or if we get in this error and says anything goes, they're both error.
Yeah.
My pastor in Florida says that any truth taken to extreme becomes error. And that's true in any, I think, either side of that of the argument. But the whole key is it enhancing Christ? Mm. Is it lifting up Jesus? Is it magnifying Jesus? And in the process, am I being edified? Am I being lifted up? And that is, I think, the fullness of what God intends in all of this, not for us to get bogged down over here, but say, you know, if it's in Scripture, could it be? If it's in Scripture and it happens, then okay, I can balance it by that it's in Scripture, so it must be exalting God and backed by Scripture. It's not contrary to Scripture, or what is brought forth is not contrary to Scripture. Then I have to, the challenge to us always is what I believe. Am I being renewed in my mind? And the challenge is, okay, this might not meet my experience before or even where I was, but am I willing to explore it in Scripture and with the enlightenment of Holy Spirit so that I can make an honest scriptural biblical judgment? This is what the Lord is saying, or this isn't.
Very good. Listeners, we're talking with the title Charismatic Chaos about the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church today. And if you want to add to the conversation, 693-WHKP. I wouldn't blame you if you don't. It might seem like a sticky topic, but it's a very important one. Because after all, if you're a Christian, it could well be that you're like a rocket that's never had the burners turned on, if you don't know about the power of the Holy Spirit.
Well put.
And I want to say there are a lot of people who go through life and it's kind of boring and mundane, and then they learn that this Holy Spirit, this God in us who exalts Jesus Christ, who is sent from the Father, that he has things to offer us through the Father in the name of the Son. Not what we want necessarily, unless it starts in our heart because he put it there, but his plan. Fulfilled. We see it all through the book of Acts. I mean, I want to ask you guys this. Do you think the book of Acts, where you see visions and dreams, and yeah, maybe because it's whatever it is, 40 chapters, maybe I don't know how many 4 years condensed into 40 chapters, you know, maybe it's the mountaintop, okay? It's not everything. It, you can't lay it all out there. But in a given lifetime, do you think that the Holy Spirit could show a church today or Christians today the same kind of visions and dreams and signs and miracles?
Absolutely.
And maybe not all in the same body. Maybe in a body over here you get some, and in a body in the next town you get some more. Here we sit, you know, and one thing I've always... It's always bothered me as we sit in this town and we got a church on this corner with a foot in it and a church on this corner with a hand in it. and a church over here with an eye in it, and they won't talk to one another because they're afraid that somebody's going to lose somebody to go to that church, and we don't get together, so we can't put the body together to see that power manifest itself.
Yeah,
that's why we should all be together Thursday night at 7.
Yeah, I mean, it is happening. The Thursday night is our countywide prayer ministry. It's a prayer movement, really, and it's, you all are welcome to come. If you're local here to Henderson County, Thursday. It's at Upward Christian Community Church on Upward Road, 7 p.m. But we are seeing a lot more coming together, like we're doing right here. Here we represent not just four denominations. If we go through our background, we've probably got about, you know, easily 8 to 10 denominations represented here. And we're all kind of saying the same thing. If there's any more God has for us, as long as it's verified in Scripture, we want it. We want to know God better. We want to follow Him. We want to live in His power. It's not to get caught up in arguments about small things that are debatable. There are debatable things in Scripture.
Yeah,
but let's not spend all of our years debating. Let's get on with the big stuff.
Everything that this book says that I can have, I want it.
Okay.
You know.
Bill?
Two things. One, we talk about dreams and visions and angelic visitations and all that type of miracles, signs, wonders. They are not limited to the New Testament. They occurred in the Old Testament. That's in the Bible stories. Why would God stop? That is a question I always had.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it is continuous because it's a revelation of who He is. And I'd like to go back to you asked him, is salvation everything? And Dave kind of said yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that at salvation, you receive the package. But have I fully unpacked the package? When Prince William was born, he had everything that he needed to be king. But it's not time for him to be king. So it's an enhancing as we go along of those things that have already been put in us by God when we were recreated, so to speak, at salvation. And God is revealing them to us gradually as we progress in seeking Him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got everything we need. Everything we ever needed was taken care of at the cross.
It's very well stated. Paul talks to the Corinthians and he warns them to keep the main thing the main thing. They were allowing tongues to become a big issue in the church.
Mm-hmm.
It was all over the place and it was kind of like the wallpaper, you know, around them. And he was saying, no, wait, prophecy, preaching the word and exhorting each other to follow Christ. You know, this also needs to be subject to, mm-hmm. to the leaders in the church, to moving of the Spirit. But don't get too caught up in the tongues thing. What I want to say, first of all, if we came to conclusions in this program, is while we're not getting into the gift of tongues, there are Christians who speak in tongues around the world, and there are some who say, well, that's not for today. But the question I have is, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit gives gifts, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 both, the 12 especially, according to His own will. Is there anything in the Bible that says, and you can debate this one, that tongues is for everybody and it must be given, you must have that gift and express it or you don't have the fullness of God?
I think it can be for everyone because Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues.
Right.
But it's like every other thing from God that's a gift. You can choose to get it or not, receive it or not, and we say it that way.
Okay, now I know people who have sought God and been open to tongues and haven't received that gift of tongues. So you're going to say they're second-rate Christians?
Mm-mm. No.
No? Certainly not. Okay. Okay, now what about miracles? Seems to me John MacArthur hit on something that's very true, that God would choose to display His miracles around Moses, around the prophets, around Christ's first and second coming, more so than other times. It's not to say we would limit Him or that He chooses to limit Himself completely, but He may want to, let's say, pour out evidence of what really matters at certain seasons and epochs of time. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But here's the thing. While we agree with that, let's not say, therefore, God, you can't do anything today.
We sure need it today.
We need it, yeah.
We tend to put Him in a box on Sunday morning and leave Him there and don't walk out through the whole week with Him. So why would we expect Him to heal somebody for us? Because, I mean, really, think about it. I mean, we do more of the limiting than He does.
My son is almost 25 years old, my one son. And for almost a year, from the time he was about 1 year old to a little after two, he every month had a sore throat.
Mm.
And it was tonsillitis, to the point that they were going to remove his tonsils. It was scheduled for surgery. We were having a home Bible study, And my wife, he said, I want to go see Daddy. And she took him out to where we were, and we prayed for him. He went back and to go to bed, and he said, Mommy, I don't have to go to the hospital. Jesus healed me. And he never had the surgery. We moved on his faith, and to this day, he has not even had a sore throat.
Wow.
So that's the power of God and how God does heal today, and there are miracles today. Again, I go back to just because any one of us have not experienced something that Scripture says does not nullify that Scripture.
Okay.
And also, if I've experienced something that I can't back up in Scripture, it doesn't validate it that it's of God.
Okay, let me bring up. The first point of application was around tongues. Let's not get divided over that. Second was around miracles, and let's be open to what God wants to do and test all things. It should always bring glory to God, whether something is skewed.
Mm-hmm.
The third point is, if you're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, first talk to me about the fruit of the Spirit. Christ said you'll know them by their fruit. In other words, does someone have that Christ-like character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control? Is it all about Jesus, or is it about that person and their pride and their control and all that? You know, look at the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Then talk to me about gifts, because those gifts, if it's around a mature Christian, will bring glory to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all agree with that?
Yep.
I think that's the whole point of 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Paul is saying the gifts are not to operate, the gifts are not to continue, but I think he's emphasizing God is love. Jesus came in love and in compassion, and if you're not moving and operating in love and compassion to glorify King Jesus, you're not moving according to Scripture.
It is truly about Him and our walk with Him and what we do for Him. Not that our salvation, we're saved under these good gifts to do these things. You can tell someone by their fruits. And I always look at that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we get a couple of things wrong sometimes, too. We are to judge these things. We're not to condemn people over them. Paul says, you got to judge these things.
I mean, you have discernment.
Yeah, discernment. Is this right or wrong?
Right.
But we're not to condemn the person doing them. That's not our job.
Not condemn. But if someone's off track and it's not all about Jesus anymore, and if it doesn't seem to be of the Spirit of God, we better not just discern, but maybe step in if it's interrupting a whole church service or something. We're not going to go much further there because it takes leadership, mature leadership, to discern these things.
And sometimes it's better to walk away from that than disrupt the whole thing and you're not sure.
Right. If you're not sure, spend some time studying, learning, growing. Mm-hmm. Read on all sides of the issue. And most of all, read the Scripture. Pray to God. Mm-hmm. And this is the bottom line. Are we really open to God and all that He has for us today?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned leadership. One of the things my friend Bob mentioned in his book, too, is the level of how the gifts flow in a church service is totally up to the leadership of that church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, I know God is supreme, but He has delegated authority. So we always have to honor the authority that God has established in any given church. And so I think that's a key that we have to realize, too. That's how we really prefer our brother more than ourselves sometimes. And the other thing is I think that unless the issue is so out of order that it can cause people to stumble,
mm-hmm.
then I believe that the best course of action is to bring correction to the individual privately so that, you know, you're not pulling them down. Because a lot of times where people miss it, like in a prophecy, for instance, is that we keep talking when Holy Spirit quit.
That happens with any kind of preaching, really.
Yeah, we know how to take off real good, but landing that plane sometimes is a little difficult.
I want you all to think about this. I think what God's doing in our day is calling churches to be well-rounded. You know, get some understanding of the Holy Spirit. Keep a focus on the gospel of salvation. That's kind of the evangelical thing. Recognize the high and holy God, whether it's through sacraments, stained glass or not. You know, the quote high church, you know, the long history of our church has deep rootedness in Scripture and the sacrament. You know, put all this together when you worship. And you can do it the way you want. There's always going to be a rich diversity. That's what the Lord wants, is diversity, because He's going to reach all kinds of people. Dave, do you have thoughts on this as a pastor who's been in various different denominations? The idea, what does a mature church look like? A church that's whole in these areas?
Well, it would have a lot of traditional, a lot of contemporary, a lot of different people have different worship language. different ways they speak to God. I think he would try to incorporate all of that mm-hmm. into a worship service. That would be difficult. I've been in completely contemporary services and some very dry traditional services.
To me, you're kind of missing the point I'm wanting to make, and I'm sorry for misleading you, but
that's fine.
I'm not talking about worship style. I think that we need all kinds of styles out there. That's great.
Right.
But when it comes down to knowing the power of the Spirit, we also want to know the gospel of the Son and the love of the Father. And a mature church, I think, takes these three streams and puts them together, lives them out in a wholesome way.
Absolutely.
Instead of being caught up in one side or the other. Okay.
I agree.
Okay, well, I'm giving you each about 30 seconds for a final challenge to our listeners about how to turn charismatic chaos into Christ-like clarity. Each one.
Understand that we talked about leadership. I say it's followership. Mm-hmm. Learn how to be quiet and listen for what God has to say to you when you pray. Don't just pray and read your Bible, but sit there and be quiet and listen. Mm-hmm. And see what he has to say that day. And understand it may not sound normal to you. Normal may be not what God has in mind for church right now. And I would just leave you at that. Tradition, Jesus didn't like tradition either.
Okay, next 30 seconds.
I would just say to all brothers and sisters in Christ, need to be open to one another, to not, that guy's just so weird. He believes in speaking in tongues, he believes in healing, he believes in all this weird stuff. Pay attention, listen, get to know that person. Maybe we're not as weird as you think we are.
Finally, Bill.
I will just challenge people to, first of all, know the Scripture. Know the Lord. And don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. Find a place where you feel comfortable Amen. With that style of worship, but that is challenging you to grow, as Paul said, in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. And be open to what God is doing in your life and in the world today. And don't be so locked into something that we become like a Pharisee and don't recognize the one we've studied when he shows up in the midst of us.
Many thanks, Bill Michael, Rick Farnham, and Dave Winkle for being with us, and listeners for being with us. Be sure to join us next Monday as we approach the July 4th weekend with Parker Palmer in here. We're talking about his book, Healing the Heart of Democracy, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's program. To be part of our online community, visit us at thebibleconnection.org. If you have comments or would like to make a contribution, our mailing address is Post Office Box 6007, Hendersonville, North Carolina, 28793. You have been listening to The Vital Connection.